What we're trying to become is scientists of our mind, trying to make our mind increasingly transparent to ourselves so that we can understand what is going on inside of us, why we're having different feelings, where they're coming from, and how we can replace uncomfortable negative feelings with peaceful, positive ones. We're trying to become our own spiritual doctors, doctors of our mind, so that we take what we learn, what we've evidenced in our experience, and we translate that into practical responses so that we can heal our mind. We can see what's happening. We understand what the remedy is, what the pathway to a more comfortable, positive mind is, and we follow that pathway. So we've been looking at how we can understand our mind these last few weeks. We've been diagnosing different malfunctions of the mind. We understood that everything that goes wrong in our mind is what we call a delusion, which is a mind that, or a part of the mind, or a malfunction of the mind that makes us unpeaceful and uncontrolled. And if we can identify which delusion it is that's functioning, which delusion it is that's causing us the discomfort in our mind, we can then trace that back to its source, and we can apply the appropriate remedy, and we can become free of it. So this process of learning how the mind works, this sort of developing our diagnostic skills, is really valuable. But it's important to get it right, because all of Buddha's teachings are medicine that need to be applied to the right malfunction of the mind. So, for example, I was teaching one time in New Zealand, and I was giving a course on overcoming anger and using as a remedy to that developing a mind of love. So that the way the mechanism of the mind of anger goes is we will often repeat to ourselves mentally, they did this, they did that, and we're thinking of all the unpleasant things they did. And so to oppose that, what we need to do is try to remember their good qualities, try to remember their kindness, try to ignore the faults and the bad behavior, but focus instead on their good qualities and their kindness and so forth. Try to remember times when we felt positively engaged with them and so forth. So anyway, I'm teaching that class and I'm feeling very confident. I know this works. This is an incredibly effective medicine for the mind. And I'm teaching it and I'm pleased with how it's going. And then after the class, one of the girls who was attending came up to me and she said, you know, I think I did what you said. Like, I really tried in the meditation to do what you said, but I feel so much worse now. Like, I came feeling pretty bad, and now I feel so much worse. I'm like, oh no. So I need more data here. Like, you have to tell me more. You can't just say that. You've got to tell me more. Like, what were you feeling and what were you thinking? And anyway, so her situation was, she came along, because her mind was very unsettled. She'd been in a relationship, it had fallen apart, she had been rather unceremoniously dumped, and she was quite upset and agitated about it. And she, you know, someone said, why don't you do some meditation? I'm sure it'll help. And so she came along, and she practiced and practiced this during the meditation, and she's thinking of all the good times she had with him and all of the nice experiences and all of his good qualities, and she's just feeling worse and worse and worse. And so she says, explains that to me, and I'm like, well, of course, that's the wrong meditation, because the problem there isn't anger. You know, what we've just done is a meditation to deal with anger, but anger isn't your problem. Your problem is attachment. And what you need to do, completely different meditation, the meditation you need to do is you need to think about all of the inconveniences, all of the unpleasantnesses, all of the compromises, all of the things that they did that were unpleasant, that were difficult, that we didn't like, and really dwell on that, and just sort of ignore the good qualities. And as I'm saying this, she's looking increasingly horrified. Like, I thought you were a Buddhist monk. And I'm like, no, seriously, do this meditation. Don't worry. Don't worry, nothing bad is going to happen. Only good things will happen. Do this meditation. Anyway, she's a little apprehensive, but she went away, telling me that she was going to do it. The next week she came back, and she was so delighted to share her experience, because in the intervening time, there was a class each week, in the intervening time, there was a party that she was going to. And, you know, and that's the, you know, it's one of the tricky things when people split up is like, well, who keeps the friends, you know? So there's this party, they were going to be all their mutual friends, and he was going to be there, and she'd heard on the grapevine that he was going to be there with the new person, and she was just so anxious about how this was going to be. But anyway, she did the meditation, as described, attacking that attachment, and goes to the party, sees him there, is happy to see him. Is happy to see him with his new partner, is happy to see that they seem happy with each other, but has no interest whatsoever. None of those pangs of loss or grasping or craving, none of that. She's like, no, you can have him, you can totally have him, I'm not interested. And so this shows that we need to know what's happening in our mind, where our feelings are coming from, and so in order to be able to know what the right remedy is, we need to diagnose the illness correctly. You know, it's the same with medical sciences. You know, one of the things that doctors most want to know is exactly what it is, and sometimes they'll rely on an autopsy afterwards to try and go, well, what was it? Because I thought it was that, but that didn't cure it, and it should have. But so, you know, when we get it right, we learn something. When we get it wrong, we learn something. We don't need to worry. Like, this isn't, you know, in all that we do in our training of the mind, there's no judgment, there's no self-reproach or self-critical, there's no place in the spiritual path for sort of those heavy, guilty, negative minds. We're just learning, we're just being honest with ourselves.